Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv, and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. This week, we have another edition of Listener Stories. It's going to be a fun time. I forget the stories that I picked out for everyone, but that's okay because we're going to figure that out together. Are you guys excited? Excellent. Before we get into this week's stories, for all of you that may be new listeners, welcome. We're excited to have you here. If you're new to listening, let me introduce myself again. My name's Olivia. My stage name is Liv. You know, it's one and the same. It's a nickname. It's a fun time. I am a psychic medium. Sounds crazy. I know. It freaks me out, and I don't think it ever will not freak me out. It's just an odd part of myself that I've come to accept, even if I may not all the time always understand it. And unlike other podcasts that talk about paranormal, spooky encounters as listener stories sent in by you, the listeners, I'm going to give my best shot as a psychic medium of giving you what I see, what I perceive in the spiritual realm of things, given these listener stories, as well as just my own two cents, I guess, from experiencing my own paranormal things and just how my brain works to try and rationalize things anyways. So that is the caveat when it comes to the Metapsychics listener story. And I think it's a fun time. It's always interesting reading people's stories and seeing what actually like pops out to me, honestly, let's be real. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today, sharing listener stories and the insight around what could be possibly paranormally happening. Now, before I get into this, I'm going to give a little bit of a life update. This is something that I've added to the podcast somewhat recently because people want to know about me outside of just my professionalism, I guess, which I'm excited if anyone wants to listen to me talk about myself. That's always fun, right? Flattering, if you will. So if you don't want to listen to this part of the podcast, please look down in the show notes or in the description below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel and click past. There'll be a timestamp that says Liv's Life Update. And then past that will be the beginning of the listener stories. So if you're not interested in listening to me talk about me, which is understandable, you can click past that. Do so now. If not, this is what I have to share with you all. So my husband, I've talked about this I've talked about this scattered throughout a lot of podcasts, maybe in some recent ones, maybe some not so recent ones, sometimes on some Patreon life updates, whatever. But he has not always believed in mediumship or anything really in the paranormal realm. And at one point, it was a large point of contention in our relationship before we got married, but while we were engaged. And I don't know, I want to say maybe 5 years ago, three years ago, my husband got really into reading books. And everybody thinks differently, right? This is something that I've learned, but some people aren't able to envision things in their mind, right? If I were to ask you, can you envision like a bumblebee? Some people will be able to see an image in their mind as if they were imagining it. Mental imagery, if you will, of a bumblebee. Some people cannot. Other people have an inner monologue, and that means that you could hear a sort of representation of your voice in your head. You know, if you ever hear yourself in a video and it doesn't sound like yourself and you get all weirded out and you're like, ew, don't play that video. It's probably because you have an inner monologue and the way that you hear your voice inside your head is different than what it actually sounds like outside of your body. And then the third way in which people can think about things is just knowing things. They just have complete thoughts. There's no sounds, there's no images. It's just a thought. And that is the hardest part for me. Like you can also, for example, you can also use all three of these ways to think about things and rationalize things within your consciousness. However, some people lack one or more of these abilities or may only think in one certain way. This is a psychological phenomenon that I've learned just throughout funsies of learning things in like college and just when you're around a lot of other ADHD people that want to share the fun facts that they've learned. These are the kind of things that you learn. So it was about 3 years ago, I would say, that my husband got into reading. And our versions of reading are very different. He likes audiobooks because the reason I started on that tangent of how people think about things is because he doesn't have an inner monologue. So it's very hard for him to read words. He just sees images and then has complete thoughts about those words, making it hard for him to sit down and focus and read on words. So he listens to audiobooks, which is a lot easier for him because then he has that auditory stimulation that his brain needs in order to have comprehension of whatever it is that he's reading, the words. So he listens to audiobooks. I'm okay with audiobooks, but I'd rather just listen to podcasts than someone like reading, because when I read a book with my own head movies and inner monologue, I have like certain ways people look, even if it doesn't match the description of what the author gives the character to look, and certain voices and personalities, etc. And I feel like that's lost in audiobooks, but to each their own, it's no big deal. The other difference that my husband and I have between our reading preferences is that I love everything fiction and everything like historical and historical fantasy, or like historic fantasy. So anything around those lines, absolutely 100%, like dungeons, dragons, fairies, warlocks, murder mysteries, or just mysteries and like history themed things, 100%. I've read so many fan fiction, it's ridiculous, and no one can tell me that Hermione and Professor Snape from Harry Potter series do not have like an alternate fan fiction timeline where they end up getting married and are together, because that is the only fan fiction for Harry Potter. And the only, like, I've watched portions of the Harry Potter movies and I've watched or read portions of the books, but the only thing that I will ship and forever be like obsessed with is those fan fiction bases, and you can't tell me anything different. Anyways, my husband, on the other hand, though, he loves everything nonfiction, everything that's like psychology based, self-help, motivation, history, and like biographies of actual living people, places, and things. That is his sign thing of reading, his little corner that he does. So I find it interesting that after almost a decade of being together, it's only been within the past 3-4 years that he's started to not only accept, but understand, and now more recently embrace my identity, or portion of my identity, the aspect of myself that is mediumship and being a medium. And it's been an odd adventure, honestly. I mean, we started out with like me telling him that I was going to start Metapsychics with my business partner and my best friend, and him being like, well, that's a whole bunch of hokey BS. To him being like, well, it seems like you're helping people with the stuff that you're doing, so even if I don't believe in it, at least you're like doing something positive and creating a business for yourself. To now, he's telling me that he's been listening to Carl Jung's audiobook and that he believes that Carl Jung was a medium that didn't know that he was a medium and was just embracing spirituality, but through his like memoir, I guess. He says it's called The Red Book. I'm not entirely sure. I only know of Carl Jung and like certain aspects and things that people have quoted to me about him, but I've never actually sat down and read the books myself like my husband's doing. And he says that Carl Jung is a medium, and through listening and reading his book, he's like, I understand so many things about you, and all the stuff that you've been telling me over these years actually makes sense. I'm like, what? And that's my life update. My husband came home last night and I was sitting on the couch. He'd been very overwhelmed with work and just balancing and learning how to expand and strengthen myself as a businesswoman and a mom and a wife. And I just needed a break. And he came in and I'm sitting there with my son. We're eating dinner, watching 101 Dalmatians. And my husband starts telling me, he's like, did you know that your inner God, the God that you should be praying, the part of your soul that is within yourself is actually masculine? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I am trying to unplug brain, put in jar next to me, and forget existence for a second, and you come into me and start telling me that the higher aspects of myself that I don't necessarily understand but need to identify with in order to find peace and tranquility within my life is that of not a woman but of a man. And then he starts spitting some fire about how he has this inner child that is female. He's like, because since I'm a man, then like my higher aspects, the higher gods that I need to pray to within myself are actually feminine. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like past lives? Are you talking about like your higher self? Because it sounds like you're talking about your higher self, but you're telling me that my higher self is masculine, but I think that my higher self is feminine. So what are you talking about? He's like, I don't even know. He's like, I'm just telling you right now that this is what I read. And based on the things that Carl Jung was talking about in his book today while I was working, I just know that your higher God inner self is a man and mine is a woman. It's like, okay. And I don't know. And now I want to read this red book from Carl Jung that my husband's been reading, because he's just been coming home and telling me like certain little anecdotes here and there, and just telling me that he now understands so much more about me based on the things that I've been telling him from my experiences as a medium, that he's been able to cross-reference and see in a different perspective, because this man named Carl Jung talks about similar things too. And I'm like, well, that's pretty nifty. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It's so cool. I'm like, okay. So it just, I don't know. Our relationship is changing, and it's been interesting to just like watch the development over the last decade of our relationship up until now, with so much trials and tribulations with just spirituality. And I don't know, everyone's spiritual journey is different. And I feel like everyone is always going to be embarking on a spiritual journey. Sometimes you can even call it, a lot of times we've referenced it as a spiritual awakening. But ever since we made our first video on YouTube about spiritual awakenings and what they are, et cetera, I've just been learning that life is one giant spiritual awakening that is tandemly happening and coinciding with new ones that are starting, as one is ending and another one's beginning, and one's not quite ended, but another one is beginning. And it's just like, what necessarily is a spiritual journey if it just means that, or seems like life itself is just one giant spiritual journey that you can maybe just like compartmentalize or segment into different chapters, but it's all just one continuous book. Anyways, that is my life update for this week. I know it's a little discombobulated and jumbled, but I don't really have anything super exciting going on in my life. And when my husband came home last night and started spitting that spiritual fire at me, I was like, maybe I should share this with other people and it'll help them maybe bridge a gap between their and their significant other's differences in spirituality, understanding of spiritual things. So anyways, thank you all for listening to my life update. Let's get into this week's listener stories.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
So our first listener story this week was sent in by Kayla. Kayla says, I hope you're doing well. I want to preface this by saying that although I was brought up in a very religious household, Seventh-day Adventist, I have always believed in the paranormal and metaphysical things. I am always watching and reading spoopy and magical material. This year, I have been more intentional about expanding my knowledge on spirituality and understanding the world around us. I found your YouTube channel first before the podcast, and you have immensely been helpful in this process. I can without a doubt say that I'm experiencing a spiritual awakening. So far, during this process, I have experienced a few things and would love to hear your opinions on them. The first story of the two stories that Kayla sent in is titled Cloaked Spirit. And Kayla says, as previously mentioned, I have always enjoyed the paranormal. I've always loved horror movies, gory things, and haunted stuffs. I've never gotten too spooked because I thought most of it was fake for entertainment purposes. However, 15 to 16 years ago, I was in high school at the time, I watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose and got the shit scared out of me. Although terrified, I eventually fell asleep. I woke up sometime later to a dark, cloaked figure standing at the end of my bed. It didn't move or speak. It just stood there. Thinking back, it was rather large or larger than a human frame, and no features were showing. It felt ominous and intimidating. I stared at it for what seemed like a very long time and eventually ended up covering my head and falling back to sleep. I didn't sleep well for almost a week but never saw the figure again. I was living at my mom's house at the time, and although this is the only full-body apparition I ever recall seeing there, I used to see all manner of shadows and feel a very overpowering presence at night from time to time. All things considered, I feel as though the hooded cloak may have been a manifestation of my own fear due to the movie, but it would be interesting to hear your own thoughts. Should we talk about that story first and then the second story, or should we talk about the second story and then both of them? Let's talk about the first story first, and then we'll go to the second one. Okay, so the cloaked spirit. All right, guys, we've talked about this a couple times in other podcasts. Actually, many times in other podcasts, let's be real. But if you're a new listener, let's break this down. The cloaked spirit. I have never watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose, but I don't think I need to because, one, horror movies terrify me. I have not watched a lot of horror movies. I've watched probably the same amount of horror movies that I can count on one hand, maybe less than five in my entire life. And they don't do good for me. I don't do well with seeing things like physically that are disturbing. It's just not my forte. Like, I will listen to true crime podcasts, but I will not watch true crime TV because it's too much for me. And I usually predict the plot or the things that are about to happen in scary movies if I watch them. And it's one of my coping mechanisms, I think, when I watch these movies, and then I'll say it when I'm watching them with other people, and then the people that I'm watching them with get very annoyed with me. But I did watch, I think it was Disturbia, the movie, when I was very little. And the serial killer that lives next door that like puts bodies in his wall looked exactly like a teacher that I had in middle school. And the entirety of all of middle school, I never walked down that hallway where that teacher would stand outside his room every day to like greet students. And I never had a class with him either, which is very lucky. But I entirely just like avoided that hallway because this man had his classroom in like the middle of it. So I never had to go past him. I would always go to the end of the classrooms or the end of the hallways to get there. But if I had to walk through that hallway to get to the other side, I would just walk all the way around the building. I would not even look at his face. That's how scary that movie was to me. So I stay away from scary movies. Given that, when you watch scary movies, I'm not saying that there are things around you. How do I explain this? There aren't things around you that are going to like, well, okay. I do think, Kayla, that your cloaked figure that you saw after watching The Exorcism of Emily Rose was a manifestation of your own fear due to watching the movie. However, I also think that when it comes to the spiritual world, like as a medium, the only thing that I'm doing is channeling and interpreting the spiritual energy of souls, pets, plants, houses, spirit guides, souls that are wandering around, whatever that may be. It is just, it's like, it's channeling energy, just like how a radio is able to channel radio frequencies and then spit out whatever it is that the radio frequencies are telling it. That is the same thing that what mediums do. It's just of different energies. So there are going to be energies existing naturally in our environment that are more attuned to lower vibrational things, things that people would quantify as like poltergeists, nightmares, whatever else spooky things that people have been able to quantify and dictate these energies as. And if you are watching a scary movie that is kind of like a beacon or like a dog whistle, if you will, for scary things like that, then they're going to be drawn to you because of your energy that you have after watching a scary movie like that in order to feed off your energy. You know, like how the Dementors and Harry Potter go towards people and like steal their essence? When you are scared, and a negative entity is around you, what perpetuates their existence is feeding off the energy of your scaredness. However, if you're not scared or you don't believe in those things, then you're not going to be offering energy to those negative frequency vibrational entities, whatever you want to call them, demons, poltergeists, like again, whatever names people have given those entities, you're not going to attract them. However, if you watch a scary movie though, and then you have nightmares, there's one of two things happening. One, you actually are just having scary dreams because your subconscious is trying to process the material that you just watched, basically. So you can just have normal physiological, biological, psychological, whatever you want to put it under, nightmares because you watch something scary. But on the spiritual side of things, there is instances where you can attract things within the spiritual environment around you naturally that are going to help make your life seem a little more scary. So I think in this instance, because you were clairvoyantly perceiving this entity, it could have been something that was manifested or brought about by your negative emotions from watching a scary movie. I hope that answers your question. Because if you talked about like having a dream specifically afterwards, I would dictate that more so as your subconscious trying to process the dream. But I think this whole like seeing this scary thing might have been something that you manifested from your own fear of the movie. And when I say manifested, I don't think you created it. I just think you attracted whatever this thing was to try and get a couple spoopy energies out of you. It's kind of like your scaredness is like the CC's pizza for scary things. You know, they're like, the buffet. This one tastes like the scariness that comes from watching The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And this thing in the middle of your room, this cloaked spirit was like, that's the mac and cheese pizza of scariness that I'm looking for. So I hope that answers your question, Kayla. Moving on to Kayla's second story. So Kayla's second story is titled Nightingale. Kayla says, a few years ago, my fiance and I moved into our first apartment together. I have pretty bad seasonal allergies and am sensitive to dust. One night, as we were both laying sleeping, I began to cough. I don't know how long or how hard I was coughing, but I don't recall feeling as though I was choking or in considerable discomfort. However, as I lay coughing, I woke up to my fiancé hitting me on the chest as if to help with the coughing. It startled me initially, and I started to come to and calm my cough. He immediately fell back and went still. I called his name several times loudly, shook him, and tried to wake him, but he did not budge. He made zero noise throughout the whole process and did not recall helping or waking up the next morning. It unnerved me slightly because he is a very deep sleeper and does not typically wake for anything. After he went still, the room felt a little uncomfortable as if someone was just waiting around. So Nightingale, night nurse, or my fiancé subconsciously helping me out? What do you think? Okay, so when I'm reading this story, it makes me think about my husband. My husband is a very deep sleeper, but he's also the person that when you try to wake him up, he starts like swinging you down like he's some angry person. And in the like, normally, my husband is not a mean, confrontational, or aggressive person, but Sleeping Bradley is an MMA fighter. I mean, like, if I try to wake him up, this dude throws elbows like he's out in the streets. And I can't deal with it. So when I read this, I feel like he was subconsciously helping you, or he was dreaming when he was helping you. I don't know. I feel like something happened with him more biologically, not spiritually, of when you were coughing, it may have done something when he was sleeping for him to help you and not remember it because he was doing something in the dream that his brain listened to you coughing and was like, oh, we're going to actually physically do something about it. Hence why he didn't wake up and also doesn't remember. But for the uncomfortable presence that you felt just like waiting in the room, I don't know. I feel like that might have been separate from the encounter, but I also don't, I'm not sure. See, I'm going to give you my best take on it, but mediums don't know everything. That's why when people are like, can you tell me the winning lottery numbers? No, because if I was allowed to know the winning lottery numbers, I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else. But when I try to put on my mediumship hat for your question for why everything felt weird in the room, that might be separate from the encounter of the dream. It might just have been, because again, like we talked about for your first story, Kayla, there are things spiritually that exist in our natural environment. So those things can be negative vibrational things. So like skittery stuff, demons, whatever you want to call them. I just call them like lower vibrational entities. But you can also have human souls as well that just exist and are transiently passing by, or things that are more conscious energy things. So many things to talk about, like fae beings. There are more like energetic entities that are associated with houses, like house elves. Very odd topic. That's not what we're talking about. But other things can exist in the natural environment. And that may have just been something that you, because you were in that sort of waking dream state, when you wake up out of a dream like that, I feel like your senses are heightened in a way, quote unquote. And you may have just been perceiving something that is separate from the experience that you had, but is also metaphysical in nature in and of itself, even though your husband trying to help you in a sense when you were coughing, even though it doesn't seem very helpful from your story, is separate from whatever it was that you were perceiving in the room. That is going to be my final answer, just because I don't think it was a nightingale, which I never heard about, because I was like, isn't a nightingale a bird? So let me tell you where the nightingale lore comes from that Kayla's talking about. And if you guys... let me tell you what a nightingale is. But if you guys have any stories, like listener stories or other stories that you've heard of about like paranormal or spiritual nightingale stories, please send them in to me using the link in the description below or in the show notes that it says like, send in your spooky paranormal story here. Or you can just email it to us, whichever, I'll find it. Just make sure you put like nightingale story in the title, because I feel like we could do a whole podcast about it and it would be really fun. So anyways, nightingale. The lore or the term for nightingale and the way that Kayla's referencing it is actually, it means nightingale nurse. It is a reference to Florence Nightingale, who is considered the mother of modern nursing. So Florence Nightingale's work and legacy include, according to a quick Google search, she was a nurse in the Crimean War. So in 1854, Florence Nightingale led a group of nurses to care for British soldiers of the Crimean War. She is known as, quote, the lady with the lamp, for carrying a lamp to check on patients at night. I just like, ooh, how many stories is there of like a lady with a lamp that could be paranormal stories? I'm like, I read that and I was like, oh, there's got to be so many like nightingale stories out there now. And now I just want to read all of them to all of you. But anyways, more on nightingale. So she also improved conditions. Nightingale's focus on cleaning and hand washing improved conditions in the hospital. Her statistics on the impact of unsanitary conditions led to the creation of a royal commission to improve the health for British soldiers, which is fabulous. Fun fact, ADHD fact from my experience going to school for science, Listerine, the guy, I forget his name, but it was like Dr. Lister. He was someone too that helped improve sanitary conditions in the medical field, because he figured out that using like alcohol and soap killed germs and allowed patients to not get like gangrene or terrible infections after surgery and like operative things. And that is the person, I believe, who helped to create Listerine, which is like what you use for your face now for bad breath and mouthwashing hygiene. So anyways, just weird fun facts. More on to Nightingale. So Florence Nightingale also formalized principles. She formalized principles for proper patient care, including hygiene, cleanliness, nutrition, warmth, fresh air, quiet, confidentiality, trust, and empathetic care. And many of these principles today are still used by nurses. And her legacy, she was given a medal, or there was a medal created in her honor by the International Committee for the Red Cross to honor specifically exceptional nurses like her. So International Nurses Day is also celebrated on Florence Nightingale's birthday. The Florence Nightingale Museum is also located at the site of the original Nightingale Nurse Training School, which is just really freaking cool. So I don't know. I just really like that. So Kayla, I think your experience with your husband was more so just literal, not spiritual. But I do think that because you woke up in that heightened state of awareness, you did perceive something separate that was just honestly standing in the corner. But because of your use of Nightingale, I need Nightingale stories, guys. I really just, lady with the lamp. I can't. There has to be so many cool stories for that. Anyways, and I'm not saying all of the like lady with the lamp stories is going to be Florence Nightingale, but I mean, given her impact on so many other people and just like the perception of it, there's got to be some cool stories.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Okay, anyways, the next and final story from Kayla is the sepia passenger. Kayla says, a few months ago, I was driving past a cemetery and thanking my spirit guides when I suddenly saw, in my head, a man in the seat next to me. I was looking through my rearview mirror at the time, but I clearly saw a man's forehead and only his forehead. No eyebrows or any other discernible features. He had lighter skin and curly/wavy hair. When I saw him, he was in sepia tone, like from an old photograph. Later on that evening, I was watching a Kelsey's Davies video on YouTube as she traveled to a location, and she had a very similar experience where she saw a man's forehead next to her as she was in the car. This sort of thing happens to me often. I will have a small glimpse of a dream about something, and it will end up being a reality or an experience that is shared by me with someone else. I know this is quite long, but thank you for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful week. P.S. I know some of this, if not all, may be small potatoes in comparison to other stories, but I appreciate you reading. Take care, Kayla. Kayla, it's not small potatoes. I enjoyed reading all of your stories, and they're fabulous because it gives me the ability to break down your stories and talk about them in hopefully ways that will help other listeners that experience similar things like you to think about, rationalize, and understand in both a like normal train of thought and a spiritual train of thought the things that they're experiencing. So no, your stories are not small potatoes, and I appreciate them. They were lovely to read. So when it comes to you seeing a passenger in sepia, this can be, so it's really cool how spirit shows us things, right? We've talked about in a couple past podcasts how the way in which spirit, and when I say spirit, I just mean all encompassing, like souls, spirit guides, entities, whatever. The way in which spirit shows us things is going to be unique and individualistic to your own experiences and understandings. For example, when I give spirit guide readings to people, I always tell them my disclaimer, which is the way in which I perceive your spirit guides is not necessarily what they look like, but it's indicative to who they are and how they'll help you because it's more so symbolic to me so that I can understand them and relate information to you rather than literal. So you seeing a man in sepia, I don't think he exists in sepia in the real time. However, as a medium, as someone who's using their psychic abilities to perceive these things, that would be more of an indication in my understanding as like symbolism to when he existed in time. So if you look up when sepia was a part of photography, you will see that the original sepia toning process was popularized in the late 1800s, so the 1880s to the 1890s. So it's not necessarily that this soul walked around when he was alive looking like he was in sepia. It's more of the soul's way of giving you an indicator of what time frame they were from or when they lived, which is so freaking cool. Now, when it comes to you saying that you experience certain things and then you have it validated by someone else that you trust more, i.e. in this instance, I would say Kelsey Davies for you, then I think you are trying or asking in a way your spirit guides, because your spirit guides are going to be the ones ultimately, in my opinion, currently, who are going to help you understand and grow and build upon your psychic abilities to your fullest potential. So they're the ones that's going to help you understand your psychic abilities and to what extent you have capabilities in them. So I think you've been asking in a way your spirit guides to validate your abilities. And I think that's why they show you things and then have someone else confirm it for you. Because for me, like as a medium, you know, I struggle with the validity of mediumship and the existence of spirit itself, right? Because in a rational brain, we're taught, or in an egotistical brain, you can argue which side that is, we're taught that the paranormal and the spiritual cannot exist because it's non-physical, right? However, it is through readings that I do that I get validation that the things that I see in my head are not just random. They actually do coincide with someone's past loved one and the things that they have to say to the person that I'm talking to in private readings. If I did not get that validation, I would just be like, well, I have these things that pop into my head and they're not there all the time and they don't have anything to do with me, so I'll just let them go, you know? But they have to coincide with things. And when I get that validation from talking to another person through readings, that the things that pop into my head aren't just nonsensical, then I'm able to be like, okay, so mediumship is real. I am a medium. I am talking to a cat. I am talking to this person that passed away in 2015, whatever. So I think you've been asking your spirit guides for validation of your abilities, and that is the way in which they're able to provide that validation for you. Does that make sense? And I mean, you might argue like, why is the soul of this man from a video that I'm going to watch in the future helping to validate my abilities? Well, a lot of times people ask me, well, how is it that you're able to do reactions to videos on YouTube? And how is it that you're able to talk to dead people through Zoom? And how is it that you're able to do email readings? Like, don't I need to be physically present for you to talk to my past loved ones or my cat? Or have you talked to my spirit guides? And the answer is no, because when we are past, we are no longer bound by physicality. So the sepia man, the soul in sepia, is able to know, see, hear, and feel everything. And if he so chooses, can work with your spirit guides in order to help validate your psychic abilities and your mediumship for whatever reasons. It's just something he's able to do. And I'm able to talk to the souls of said people through Zoom because, I mean, I'm talking to you physically, but that's because you're not dead and I'm not dead. So we need some form of communication like an email or a Zoom call in order for me to tell you what it is that I'm receiving. But I'm not physically talking to whoever it is that's passed. You know, I'm channeling the energy of their soul, which is very much a different communication than you and I talking physically. So that's why these things are able to take place. I hope that answers your question about the man in sepia. So I think you did perceive them and it's crazy cool. And if you have more questions about that, whether this is your story and you're Kayla that's listening or not, please let me know. Type them in the comments below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel, or leave an Apple podcast comment. I don't care. Tell me your questions. I'm here to answer them. So those are Kayla's stories. Moving on to the next story. Our next story was sent in by Shy, specifically Shy Shy, which I appreciate. I thought it was really cute. Shy's title of their story is, I was pushed into the wall by the Hat Man. Shy says, hi, you can call me Shy. Maybe it's Shay. I think it's Shy. S-H-Y. Anyways, Shy says, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and it's helped me feel less crazy. I've had abilities for as long as I can remember, but thanks to how I grew up, there has always been that question in the back of my mind. Is this real? Which, with everything I've experienced, shouldn't be, but it is. Anyways, like I said, I've experienced a lot of things and I've got a lot of stories, but this is the one I think that changed everything for me. It was when the Hat Man appeared. I think I was 14 when I first saw him, but not where you would think. He didn't appear to me in a dream or at the end of my bed during sleep paralysis. He hung out in the hall next to the bathroom. Every time I came out of my room, he was there, standing in the corner. At first, I didn't really look at him because I got this awful feeling being out of my room and feeling like I wasn't allowed to look at him. It got to the point that I wouldn't come out until I got the hall light on. I basically became a teenager that was scared of the dark. The couple of times I did get glimpses of him, I could very clearly see a shadow that was much darker than anything else around it. You could see the shape of a hat on a tall figure and possibly the outline of a trench coat. For a while, he didn't really do anything other than make me feel bad and any time I needed to go to the bathroom or to the kitchen at night. But slowly things started to change. I could feel something watching outside of any window or mirror I was near once it was dark, and there was a heavy feeling throughout the house. I only felt safe in my room. I couldn't even take a shower at night because there was a window in there. And one night, while I was taking a shower, I heard something knock hard on the window. I jumped to turn to see what looked like two red eyes close to the frosted glass. And yes, like any sane person, I ran out of there. I hardly got a house coat on before I ran into my parents' room. They checked, but nothing was there. I was so scared that I sat in the tub to rinse off the soap I still had on me because I refused to be near that window. I took showers at night like this for a long time after my encounter. There was also a time when I went out to the laundry room to get some clothes for the next day. I could feel something staring at me from the outside of the window I was next to, but I tried to ignore it. While I was standing there looking for the clothes, the heavy feeling came over me and it built until the window rattled violently. Once again, I ran to my parents and my dad told me there was nothing there. My dad didn't believe in ghosts or anything like that, so every time I told my parents what happened, he would get annoyed at me and tell me it wasn't real. I started to believe that maybe it was in my head, so one night I decided to see if it was just my mind playing tricks on me or if something else was there. I went out into the hall without turning on the light, and I made myself look at the shadow that had been standing in my hallway every night. It was the first time I truly knew it wasn't just a shadow or my imagination. It looked solid and felt like someone was really standing there. While I was staring at it and going, "I told you so," to my dad in my head, I saw him move. He's never moved before, this Hat Man, and I realized I couldn't move now. I was stuck in the hall. I couldn't run back into my room, and I couldn't turn around to get the light on. I don't know if it was just fear or if he somehow paralyzed me. I watched as he came at me and I could see this big claw-like hand reaching out towards me. I didn't know what happened after that, but the next thing I did know, I was up against the wall, letting out a breath I didn't know I was holding in. It was one of the scariest things I've ever experienced, and I stood there frozen for a few minutes trying to process what had just happened. After that night, even though I felt watched and that heavy feeling was still there, I didn't see the Hat Man in the hallway anymore. The windows never knocked or rattled again. I believe my house was haunted before this, so was this the Hat Man or maybe something else? I'd love to know what you think. P.S. My worst fear happened while writing this, and a spider crawled on me. I don't think he likes me talking about this. Shy. Okay, Shy, there's a lot to unpack here, so let's break it down. Is your house haunted? Possibly. Is everything haunted? Also, we can argue that point to be possibly, because, you know, we exist, the spiritual exists, everything is sort of in this parallel that runs adjacent at times to one another. So just, is your house haunted? Is everything haunted? Anyways, I'm being silly here. So when it comes to the Hat Man, I mean, the instance in the shower is really scary too. You also are 14. So in this story, I know you're not 14 now, in the story you were. So I just, my brain wants me to say that this encounter that you had was a poltergeisty encounter. Now, what is a poltergeist? In this instance, I feel like poltergeists are a subconscious manifestation of someone's fears, anxieties, insecurities, etc. So they can be conscious or subconscious. I want to say that poltergeists are mostly subconscious. Let's not say that they're conscious. I don't know how to feel about that statement right now. So poltergeists are subconscious manifestations of fears, angers, emotions, insecurities, etc. And at this point in time, I do feel like you possibly, there might have also been something. See, this is the caveat. I feel like your house may have been haunted in the aspect of, if you didn't live in your house for a long time, there may have been a poltergeist-y entity that it was already manifested. And when I say manifested, I mean created from the fears, angers, insecurities, and past events of the people that lived in the house before you, i.e. making it quote-unquote haunted. Poltergeists are like it's a German word and it translates to noisy ghost. So most times poltergeists are transient things that cannot exist forever unless they won't persist past the negative environment, emotions, feelings, etc., that are permeating from the people that exist within the environment that the poltergeist arises from. So I feel like when you say that you think your house was haunted before you moved in, I would agree with that idea in the fact of, I think there was some sort of entity which had manifested from the previous owners and interactions and actions and events that took place in the house because of those people that were in the house before you. However, given the time in your life that you were going through, I think this poltergeist was able to try and manifest itself to project upon you. Not to say that you were giving or creating bad things from your energy. I think because, you know, children are more able to perceive the metaphysical because they have less egos or sociocultural perceptions of the world around us. So there's less influence on children of not believing in the paranormal. So therefore, it's easier for them to perceive it, you know, because adults have that ego. It's kind of like the, you ever watch Polar Express and the kid can hear the bell ring because he believes in Santa Claus, but the parents and the children can't believe in it or don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. So therefore they don't hear the bell ring. That's your ego. The ego is the ideas that change your consciousness from being able to hear the bell ring or perceive the paranormal. So I think you, Shy, in this state of being 14, your ego wasn't developed enough as your dad's was, because your dad's like, that's not real, that can't work that way, you know, which, you know, keeps people protected in a sense too, because if you don't believe in those things, then you're not going to perceive them. So I think there was a poltergeisty manifestation that had been created or manifested from the people that lived in the house before you, i.e. causing your house to be quote unquote haunted. But because you were 14, this entity was trying to persist further. And in order to do that, would have to scare you. Because we talked about the CC's scary pizza buffet, right? From Kayla's story. That is what this hat man was trying to do in your instance. But I feel like at some point in time, you were more so protected by your spirit guides and the spirits around you and yourself that changed. And that is why the feelings lessened over time. And you weren't as influenced by this hat man any longer after that one like sort of interaction that came to a head, which is absolutely terrifying. You know, you talk about how you were so scared that it felt like you couldn't move, or you thought this hat man had made it so that you couldn't move. I don't think that the hat man made you so that you couldn't move. I think you really were just that scared, because I don't think an entity like that could have that much power over you, in my own opinion, just from reading the energy of the story to the best of my abilities. I feel like you were protected in an instance, and after that, nothing else was allowed to persist further because of spirit guides and souls around you. But I've had so many dreams where I get really scared in the dream that I can't run. You know, like I always have this one reoccurring dream, and I haven't had it in a while, but I'm leaving a movie theater with my mom and my brother, and every time there's like something bad happening in the movie theater and we have to run away from this bad person, otherwise they're going to get you. And I'm trying to run out of the movie theater and into the parking lot. And it's like, as soon as I hit that like area of sidewalk that like drops down a step to into the parking lot to like run to the car and hide, I like can't move. I like freeze. It's like I'm paralyzed with fear. And when I read your story and ask about the spiritual plausibility of the quote unquote hat man being able to make you feel like you can't move or making you not move. The way I'm shown that that's not the case is that they're like, no, you were just as scared as insert Olivia's dream here. So it was more just that nervousness that kept you from moving, which is not a good feeling because I know the feeling that you're talking about. So thank you all for listening to this Sunday's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the listener stories, learned something about spirituality or like mediumship, psychic abilities, whatever. I hope you liked my life update too. If not, that's okay. If you didn't listen to it, I mean, you have the chance to go back and listen. See, when I talk about like skipping life updates, when I was a teenager in middle school, so preteen, there was this girl that I thought was so cool next to me. She was like into K-pop and her mom let her be a vegetarian and she was reading the Twilight series. So that's when the Twilight Saga books came out and they were like the hottest new thing. And I was like, I want to read the Twilight books too. And I was able to have her let me borrow the books, right? And I know if you have read the Twilight series and you were also a teeny bopper like me at that point, you are either Team Jacob or Team Edward. And I was so diehard Team Edward that I completely skipped the entire like portion of, I think it was the third book that's all about Jacob, because I was so against him and his portion of the love story. And that's kind of how I feel like people might be if they don't listen to my life updates. They're like, I just really don't even need this. I'm just going to skip it every single time. But then like, do you miss out on some things that have to like tie into the podcast? Maybe, maybe not. But anyways, that's just what it makes me think about if someone skips the life update. But thank you all so much for listening to this Sunday's podcast. Now, when it comes to private reading availability, because I have a son, I changed my ability from booking out 6 months in advance to just 1 month in advance, because if I get sick or my son gets sick, I need like flexibility to not have to change everybody's lives. If you book a reading with me 6 months in advance, like that has happened before, but it's been brought to my attention that a lovely person by the name of Ryan on TikTok, Ryan. I gave her a pet psychic reading in like 2021 for her big old chubby orange cat Bootsy. And she made a TikTok. And I was wondering why all of a sudden I started getting all these pet psychic readings on booked on my website. Cause I have not had, like, I love doing pet psychic readings, but more so it seems like people are interested in psychic medium readings, etc., than pet psychic readings. But I am like booked out all the way up until the middle of December because my booking software only goes a month out. And then we have the holidays. So like December and like Christmas and New Year's, I'm taking off of work like normal to be with family. But she made a TikTok about my pet psychic reading with her and Bootsy. Like, let me tell you about Bootsy. Bootsy likes to party on the patio and he loves his family, specifically his mom's son. So I guess his brother, if you want to talk about it that way. And he's just a very aloof orange cat. He has orange cat vibes, but Ryan was nice enough to make a video so many years later. I did. I looked it up. We had a reading in 2021 because I was like, I remember Bootsy and I remember his story because I thought it was funny that he talked about how he wanted to be out on the patio to party with people more when his family had company over. And that was just like the part that I remembered the most. But I didn't know when the reading took place, but she made a lovely TikTok video about our pet psychic reading together. And now everyone wants a pet psychic reading. So if you're listening to this and you've gotten this far, there will be more availability. It's simply that my booking software only allows me to book 1 month out. And I don't want to be greedy and just start booking people out even longer. Because again, what if I get sick? What if my son gets sick? It's the time where the flu starts to go around and everyone's going to be getting together for the holidays. So I don't want to have a lot of people book readings and then something happens and I have to either cancel or reschedule and then you're waiting even longer for a reading. So if you do not see availability and you want to book a reading with me, please give my website time. Every day, my booking website will open up a new day and a new day. That's all 30 days out from today. So if I'm still booked up, it won't show up. But if you're looking into like 2026, that's way too long. It only gives you an accurate representation of 1 month from today. So every day that opens up, there'll be new availability. And if there isn't availability today, check back next week, check back in the next few days, and new dates will hopefully open up. But I don't know if any of you, I already thanked Ryan in the comments of the YouTube or the TikTok videos that she posted, because I haven't posted on anything on TikTok in a while because there was all of that stuff saying that like TikTok was going to go away. And I've just been trying to balance so many other things in life that I have like almost forgotten about TikTok a little bit. I'm not going to lie, but it was so nice. And I'm like extremely blessed and thankful for all of the future pet readings that I'm going to have, because I love talking to people's animals. It's going to be great. I'm honestly really excited for it. But I just wanted you guys to know that if you don't see availability, availability for private readings will be coming. And I look forward, if you're listening to this podcast now after watching Ryan's TikTok, I look forward to meeting all of you and talking to all of your animals. It's going to be great. So thank you all for listening. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of your Sunday. Peace.